This is WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Robert C. Fullerton is a self-taught musician whose musical journey has taken him through blues, folk, rock, gospel, jazz, and even choral music. This journey has made an impact on him musically both when writing and when performing other people's music. This results in interpretations that are faithful to the original yet often quite unique, a style Robert refers to as a bit of acoustic soul. Robert C. Fullerton is in the studio today to discuss his music and his journey. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Robert C. Fullerton here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. In studio today is Robert C. Fullerton, self-taught musician whose albums include Never Too Late and Let It Rain. Robert, thank you for visiting us here in WAPJ on Nutmeg Chatter.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Now, the introduction that I just described acoustic soul. Could you elaborate a little bit more about that particular journey, the musical journey?
Sure. Well, the journey, I mean, I grew up in a home, as I told someone else lately, that at least in my earliest years, there was probably records and radio on more than there was television. So, you know, I grew up around, you know, the old country music, around Southern gospel music, around the early days of rock and roll, you know, Bandstand, the Beatles, Elvis, and even further on out. But you know, as I got older, there were certain chords that as a guitarist, you know, guitarists out there, musicians will understand if I talk about major seven chords, those always had an appeal to me, something about the sound of them. Then, you know, extending that on further on as I got older, I was a high school choral director for a while, which, you know, took me off on a whole different path, you know, after having done folk and blues and that kind of stuff. And then for about 10 or 12 years, I think it was, I was really getting strictly into jazz, had a quartet and the whole works. And so now that I've come back to making an effort at really being a writer, it's kind of taken little bits from all of that because, you know, you can't help it. It's there whether you like it or not, acknowledge it or not. So expression-wise, because my music is primarily acoustic-driven, it's that soulful element to it. There is another phrase that people used, blue-eyed soul.
Sure.
So, yeah, similar thing. You know, I'm just looking for a different title for it, maybe get a little different attention from it. But, yeah, to me, one of the greatest compliments I get, which I've gotten over the past couple of years and more recently, one is for people to say, wow, you're professional. The other is when somebody says, man, you got soul, you know? So yeah, that's certain, that expressiveness, the feeling, the emotion to the music.
The expression, you've got soul, that's very indicative of your particular brand of music because you have sung in the gospel tradition and choral music. Could you describe for me, when you said you were growing up, there is, you know, some certain influences. You didn't grow up in Connecticut. You grew up south of here, right?
Correct. I grew up in Northern Virginia, which now is really D.C. suburbs. It's just grown that much since I've been gone. But, yeah, I used to kind of talk like this and been in New England since the late 70s. But I did grow up there. My family are all still there.
In those formative years, was religious music or religion an important influence in your life?
It was. And, you know, I went to a church for, you know, a good part of my early teen years, maybe a little before that, that was built in around 1900, 1901, something like that, by a man named Robert Fullerton. My great grandfather was the carpenter that built it. And so, you know, we went there, a little teeny country church. And if people check out, there's a song on Let It Rain album, First Church of the Tambourine, that they'll get some of that feel, some of that influence, I think, that they can see. They'll hear it.
Let's listen to just a little bit now of Robert C. Fullerton.
First Church of the Tambourine.
of the tambourine. Sunday meetings can be quite a scene, but you needn't worry about your self-esteem at the First Church of the Tambourine.
I really like that. I like the sound that First Church of the Tambourine has. It's, you know, very soulful, as they say. It's that's a great song.
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, again, it's having not just grown up in Virginia and gone to a Southern Baptist church, but also for a few years after that, you know, traveling a fair bit and spending some time in the Midwest, you know, and
now, did the Midwest influence your music at all? Because I can definitely hear that Southern religious gospel sound. I can hear that. What about the Midwest travel inspired you?
Yeah, not really so much. I mean, I have visual memories, and, you know, that is another part of the Bible Belt as such. I've never had any desire to live in the Midwest, much of it. But, you know, again, it's that there, and there were certain other movies. There was a movie, oh, geez, I think it was in the 80s, Places in the Heart, or Places of the Heart, with Sally Field.
Sure.
That, you know, church was a part of that. And that whole field, that was Texas, you know. So, you know, that's with that song, trying to replicate that environment.
And where did you discover jazz? Was that still growing up in Virginia? Did you discover jazz later?
Yeah, no, I didn't really get into jazz until I was, I'm going to have to do math now and admit my age.
This is a no math program, please. So.
Somewhere probably around my mid to late 40s.
And what about jazz appealed to you at that point in time?
I think some of it was just the right place and the right time. You know, again, I had said certain sounds I always liked, certain chords. Happened to be hanging out all of a sudden with several other friends that were into jazz. I was also working at a private school at the time and teaching music. And so it all kind of factored together and kind of fell in love with it. And like I said, for a while did strictly jazz, even wrote a couple instrumental pieces.
Very nice. We're going to listen to some of your music right now. A little bit more of Robert C. Fullerton.
McMahon, won't you please knock on my door? Need some money badly, could you get it here by 4? My bank account is overdrawn, my bills are overdue. So, Mr. Ed McMahon, I really want you to come through for me.
Now, Robert, what we just heard is a little bit of Ed McMahon. Mm. Ed McMahon is one of your songs off of the album Never Too Late. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration of Ed McMahon.
Yeah, that was kind of that was one of those songs that you hear people talk about sometimes that was written in just a few minutes. I had just come home, and so this would have probably been, about 2 or 3 years ago now. Walked up on my front porch, and, you know, part of my routine is you first check the mailbox, you know, see what's there. And see what new bills you've gotten. And as I was stepping up, a neighbor was coming out to check his mail. And, you know, he just, you know, started some polite conversation and said something like, yeah, I'm expecting, you know, a package to be delivered. And I said, you know, I'm expecting somebody to send me $1,000 and they're not cooperating. Yeah. And automatically my brain triggered back to those commercials. I think they were the late 80s, 90s that Ed McMahon was in.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. For the American Family Sweepstakes. Look for the envelope with my picture on it. It might already be at your door. And that's, you know, popped into my head. And right immediately came the line, Ed McMahon, would you please knock on my door? I need some money badly. Could you get it here by 4? And then so I went upstairs, grabbed my guitar, my pen, and and wrote. And, you know, like I said, except for a few, you know, word revisions, I wrote it in probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
That's great. We're gonna play a little bit more of Never Too Late from the Never Too Late album. We're going to listen to Can't Seem to Find Her as we go to commercial break for public service announcements. And then we'll be back just after this on Nutmeg Chatter.
Trying to find a woman that will suit my mood is like searching for corners in an oval room.
Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Coming back from break, we just heard a little bit of I Saw an Angel from the Never Too Late album from Robert C. Fullerton. Robert, what could be the greatest influences for your writing today?
Today? You know, I'm kind of in a shift in a couple of ways in the last year or so.
Interesting.
One, trying to write more objectively. My first, Let It Rain Some, but even more, Never Too Late. Very subjective songs, relationship oriented. Some of them based on very real people and real circumstances. So now I'm doing a couple where I'm intentionally trying to look at different experiences or look from a different person's point of view. Or to take, a real life experience and then just kind of go from there to try and write poetry. But really, I think, and someone said all songs are love songs. It does come back to that. There is the relationship issue. And so,
you're trying to now write more from an objective standpoint, but still based on some concepts that are very important to you. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. For instance, I've got one that actually the inspiration happened right here in downtown Torrington, probably about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. A cool fall Sunday morning. I was out walking. And encountered a man and had a conversation with him. He was waiting for the soup kitchen to open. And the conversation, it just inspired me so much that I just immediately went down the street, found a place to sit, pulled out my phone. That was the only thing I had to write on and wrote the song. So it's really about this person. The whole thing was that he really wasn't looking for a handout. He didn't ask me for money. He just needed someone to converse with, wanted to spend a little time with someone and talk,
And that interaction then resulted in you writing a song that was based upon that particular experience?
Yeah, and that'll be on the album I'm working on. But, the chorus is basically, but he didn't want a handout, $0, nothing more, just another soul to talk to. I know, I've been there before. Yeah.
Robert C. Fullerton, ladies and gentlemen, very nice. Thank you for singing live for us in the studio here on WAPJ. Now, that's great. So you're influenced by your surroundings, by the things that happen to you, and then you try to articulate that both within the writing and within the musical structure. Is that correct?
Correct.
Very nice. Now, do you like to work with other artists, other musicians? And if so, could you tell me a little bit about those type of experiences, either in the recording or performing live?
Well, yeah, both aspects. Deal with the recording first. When I recorded Never Too Late, and that was released 2013, I did all the vocals, I did all the instruments, and part of that was budget, but part of that was also I needed to do that perhaps more for me than it wasn't anything about really proving to anyone else. It was proving to me that I could do it. The other albums, Let It Rain and the new one, Let It Rain, I had some important names, Angela Luna doing some vocals, Gracie Day, Atticus Kelly of the McLovins, Isaac Young was a phonosynthesis, but he's on some new project now. George Mastrogiannis. New album. I've got. I'm think I'm used about three or four different drummers so far. George again.
George is a great drummer, and Angela Luna and Gracie Day. Wow, that's
fantastic. Yeah. I mean, they're great friends too, and so to be able to pull them in and use their talents, yeah, it's good. And they're, like I said, most of them I'm going to be using again, hopefully, and but also expanding the circle. Live, yeah, Gracie and I have done a fair number of concerts together, gigs together, with a couple more coming up in the not too far distant future. And, you know, there are some others. I enjoy working with other people and would really love to be involved in more things that do that. I had a series a while back, a couple years ago, here in Torrington, Songwriters Take on the Great American Songbook.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed, and it gave me the opportunity to work with several other songwriters in the area. And so I'm actually working on an idea for another similar series. It won't be the Great American Songbook, but it will be songwriter-oriented, and again, give me a chance to work with some of these other people again.
I remember, this is a number of years ago in Torrington, there was the Desultory Theater Club.
Mm-hmm.
It was right on Water Street.
Yeah.
And Roberts had a series, which is the Take on the Great American Songbook. And I remember that you had Krista Moon,
mm-hmm,
as one of your guests that I went to that particular show. That was a phenomenal show because I enjoyed both of your work. And
yeah,
together when you performed, I thought that was that created some electric, electricity in the room there, because you're both working on something that was totally different and in a way that, kind of expanded both your horizons. And I like that. I like the fact that you were able to, kind of take something and create something totally new for that particular live audience.
I really like the concept of performances in the round, which is mostly what that series was. I've done a couple other songwriter series as a guest that are in the round. And it's really nice because the person before you might either sing a song or something in their introduction to their song that triggers and changes what you're going to do. The serendipitousness, is that a word? The serendipity of it?
Serendipity, sure.
Yeah, is really kind of neat, and it's more organic. And I think audiences really kind of like that too.
Absolutely. Now, do you like performing live?
I do. I do. Just got back from a gig last night, and it's not always easy. But for the most part, especially when you feel like you can connect with an audience, and you know they're there with you and listening, and absolutely.
And if you were to capture that particular feeling of being in a live environment, I mean, that when I described the electricity in the room there, when you were performing, you're performing something totally new with another artist who you knew and respected, but you hadn't played this particular song together. And there was something that was so wonderful about that. And I really enjoyed that experience. Hopefully we'll hear more of that type of experience in the future. Would that be fair?
Yeah, like I said, it could be very soon. I've got a place. I've been talking with someone. I just can't give out details yet because they're not solid.
I understand. But when you get closer to that information, please feel free to share that information.
It'll be on WAPJ.
Yeah,
and it'll be on my website and on all of our Facebook. But yes, I'll definitely get it out through WAPJ.
What are some of the, there's some wonderful things about performing live that you enjoy. What are some of the struggles of performing live for a singer-songwriter?
Well, the thing is that there are certain of my gigs, because, a fair bit of my gigs are restaurants and bars and things like that. And there are some where people are so absolutely there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening and they're responsive. And there are others where you're a human radio, and so you sing and you feel like you're pouring your heart out, but they're busy talking to each other, which is why they're really there. And I understand that. But it sometimes is, you feel you're working extra hard emotionally, and
And especially if somebody requests a particular song and then you sing it, they should pay attention to you when you sing it. Would that be a good tip?
Well, that would be, but I also, I'm one of those ones that I generally avoid requests. I unless I already know it, because a lot of the songs I don't do in original keys, and I can't. Some people can do it, but I can't. The thought of getting halfway through a song and then realizing you're not going to be able to hit the next three notes. I can't make myself do that. So, what I'll do is I'll, politely say to someone, I'm not prepared to do that song, but, if you write it down for me next time I come, I'll try to have it ready,
Nice. And do you go to the same, the same places, or do you try to, go to this, to the same general areas, to perform?
Most of the places I do, I am there multiple times. I have one where I have a monthly residence. Like, I'm always the second Wednesday or second week of the month, something like that. But the others, I'm there usually once a month, once every month and a half, 2 months, something like that.
Well, we're going to, as we go to break, we're going to listen to just a little bit more of the music of Robert C. Fullerton here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Two is a dragon and a queen somewhere out in space.
Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We're just listening to some of the newer work from Robert C. Fullerton. Just a sneak peek, just as we came back from a break from the public service announcements. Now, you're always creating new music. Is that right?
Excuse me. Yeah. It. I look at it as, I guess in some ways as a business would be the way to say it, but to me, it's not something that you just kind of sit and wait for it to come to you. It is work.
There's persistence.
Right. There's developing new skills. And that's why, again, some of the things I was talking about earlier about trying to be more objective, forcing myself to try a different style, to try something different linguistically, to take a topic or take a sentence or something like that and work it into a song.
Now that it occurs to me that you do have a song, Relentlessly Persistent, correct? Mm-hmm. And, and in a way, when you're trying to be when you are a professional singer, songwriter, musician, you need to be relentlessly persistent when you are pursuing your dream.
Absolutely. And every aspect of it, it's there are things that you sacrifice. Anytime you have something you love and you want to do, you have to be willing to sacrifice to make it happen, or this or that. Absolutely. And there are times where I've had a couple songs and I've, just not finished. And then I've come to the point and said, okay, I'm sitting down today and I'm doing it, And even if it doesn't get totally finished, at least it gets it moving again. And there are times you just have to do that, or write for the sake of writing. Even if maybe it won't ever become a song, but you're working on the skills that you use.
Right. And you work on that must be like a passion almost every single day. You have to write. And so you write, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Write or hum, or just pick up a guitar and, wait for it to, kind of generate a new idea. Just play around, start playing with chords and notes and whatever. And yeah.
How do you know, as a musician, when you have an album, is it a question of creating a number of songs and saying, I now have this number and now I have an album? Or is there more of a situation where you have a vision and then you write songs and then together those become a cohesive collection of songs?
Mm-hmm. It's probably different for every person, but I know for me, it's like I'm looking at, being honest, I'm looking at my age and saying, hey, I'm getting up there. I want to get what's in my head in what I do, you know, live, I want to get it out there and I want people to be able to hear it. I want to leave behind some kind of a musical legacy to whatever degree. And so, you know, I looked at it when I did Never Too Late, excuse me, it ended up, you know, as a 3-word title and had 9 songs. Next one, Let It Rain, 3-word title, has 9 songs. When I started this one, which incidentally does have a 3-word title, You Weren't There, I had about at least 15 songs to choose from.
Wow, so you were able to, from that collection, pare down.
I pared it down, and I was going to go for 9 again, but it was just there were too many. So I was aiming for, I think I had 11. And now that I'm getting into it, I keep writing, which in some ways I try not to, but if they come, they come, you know? And again, it's what you do. So I'm back at the dilemma of how to address it. And so some of the possibilities are is to take, release, you know, maybe 1 or 2 songs as singles that won't be on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to do the idea of thinking of a live album.
That's great.
And, you know, probably have 1 or 2 songs maybe that are going from this next album, from You Weren't There, maybe 1 or 2 even that won't be on any album, and then, you know, some from Never Too Late and Let It Rain.
That's fantastic. So you are always in the space of creating, and even when you're paring down one album, you're still creating newer and newer work because this is what's in your heart and you're trying to get it out onto the page and into the ears, if you will, of the listeners.
Yeah. And, you know, at the risk of sounding arrogant or whatever, some of my newest songs I love. One in particular. And yeah, I think I'm in love with the fictitious woman that it's about, too.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, as we wrap up our discussion, you know, I wish we had an hour program because that way we could continue our discussion. But in the last couple of minutes, I just want to ask you, if people want to find out more about Robert C. Fullerton, where can they find you, both on the internet and also, you know, if there are any particular gigs that you said that you are commonly doing? Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, for the people that are listening locally, I'm going to be at Sasso's on a regular basis. That's the place right in downtown Torrington.
Sasso's is a wonderful pizza establishment.
A wonderful new business that I really think is going to help make downtown be a much better place even than it already is.
That's excellent. And where else?
Where else? Coming up, the 23rd of this month, I'm going to be up in the Infinity Hall Bistro in Norfolk.
Very nice.
And so really looking forward to that. It's a great place, a great opportunity to play. I'm going to be playing the revamped Hooker Day celebrations in Hartford in May.
Very nice. And where can they find you online?
www.rcfullerton.com. Or if they just put Robert C. Fullerton in any browser and search, it'll probably pull right to me, as long as they put that C in there.
And can they find your Facebook page as well?
Yep. RCF Music.
RCF Music.
Yep.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yep. And
rcfullerton.com.
Well, excellent. Well, Robert C. Fullerton, thank you for coming into the studio today to talk to me about your music, about acoustic soul. Some of our music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music, so we thank them for that. Now, some of the music today's show has been provided by Robert C. Fullerton from the albums Never Too Late and Let It Rain and albums to come.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to our station. At 4 p.m., listen to The Hotspot with Darcy. This has been Nutmeg Chatter with your host, J. Timothy Quirk. Thank you for listening and enjoy your day.